We continue our series on Mission Possible. Mission Possible, Part 3. Our mission that is possible is to know Jesus Christ, to know Him more, and to make Him known. That is it. To know Jesus Christ, to know Him more, and to make Him known. To make Him known, not just by talking about Him, but by walking with Him and by reflecting His character, His light, His presence, His love, wherever we go. Because as we heard last week, that we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, that we're stamped, that we're set apart. We reflect His light, His love, and the more we walk with Him, the more we yield to Him, the more light and love that we reflect. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, perhaps some say the best preacher of all time, they called him the Prince of Preachers, stated, "I have now concentrated all my prayers into one, that I may die to self." That I may die to self and completely live to Him. Sounds easy. As Christians, the Lord Jesus, Father God, commands us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. Why is it so difficult? Do we trust Him? Complete. How can we die and yet still live? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a person, He bids them to come and die. I don't think you'll get these in verse of the day. In a little card that pops up on your desktop. Today's scripture is Luke 9:23. Then He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." May the Lord bless His word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We must deny ourselves. What does that mean? Well, we're not robots. The Lord has called us. The Lord has drawn us to Himself. And all who have received Him, He's given us the right to become children of God. And we have a choice to yield to Him, to walk in the Spirit, to deny ourselves on a daily basis. Or we can walk in the flesh, which is another way of the old nature, of the sinful, selfish self that is at war with the Spirit. And I put this type of picture up behind me. A little bit of a slant on the Jekyll and Hyde, a little bit of the battle that is going on within us. And I spoke last week and previously, how we can choose to walk in the flesh or we can choose to walk in the Spirit. What is the difference? And is our body in control of us? When we're hungry, our body tells us when to eat. Or does our spirit control our body? Because we're not animals. We are made in the image of God. And we have a choice. And how do we know if we are in the flesh, if we are walking in the spirit, or we're walking in the flesh? Well, God has given us his peace. It's a plumb line, a measurement. And when we do not have our peace, the peace that comes from God, that isn't dependent upon our circumstances, that supernatural peace that every brother and sister in Christ experiences despite our circumstances. Well, if we ever lose that peace, I would like to suggest that we maybe need to step back. We maybe need to have a look and ask ourselves, are we walking in the spirit, or are we walking in the flesh, the old nature? So we have this amazing gift from God, his presence in our lives, this peace that surpasses all understanding, that helps us measure where we are, what condition we're in. Do you have peace this morning? Do you have peace this morning? Or do we have anxiety? Are we overwhelmed with worry? Is there fear? These are all signs that we need to step back, ask God to show us if we need to repent, if we need to just track back. And the Lord will give us his peace. The Lord never condemns us. He convicts us. So we can confess and restore that peace with him. Isn't that wonderful? The peace of God. The blood of Jesus. Jesus died so we could experience that peace. He rose again, defeated death and hell. It's a wonderful gift. Are we redlining? Are we on 8,000 RPM? I've been there this year. I've been overwhelmed. But if we're constantly overreacting and constantly redlining, it happens, yes, through trauma and various events in our lives that we do tend to overreact. We do tend to red line. But if we are constantly living like that, in that tension of overreacting, I perhaps would like to suggest that we've believed a lie. Perhaps about the character of God or about ourselves. And I would encourage you, if that's your experience and you haven't been through a trauma, that you would ask God to reveal to you that stronghold perhaps. That's what I did. And he took me back to somewhere where I believed a lie. Upon confession of that, I was instantly restored to peace. So God is wonderful. See, we've always got to come from the position that we're children of God. That you're sons and daughters of the Most High, with all them benefits that we have, that knowing God is our Father. Yes, we serve him, but it comes from sonship. It comes from knowing who we are. Our identity in him is as children of God. We are not orphans. And his peace is promised to us despite our circumstances. And I would encourage us not to settle for anything less, because it cost the Lord. And this is how we can make him known: by reflecting him. Not by what we say. Talk is cheap. Yes, there is times to share. Yes, there is times to witness. Yes, there is times to preach the gospel. But always we must reflect His light, His love, His radiance, His power. We deny ourselves. To deny is to die. It's a call to death. To deny is to die. This is God's work, and it's also ours. Say that once more. It is God's work, and it's also ours. Say no to our agenda, to our way, to our pleasures, to empty ourselves of selfish ambition, to lay aside our hopes, our dreams, our plans, and to yield. Now that's not a popular word, is it? That's not PC. That we would surrender to the Lord. But that's what we're called to do. Surrenders to God's agenda. We place our lives in His hand because Father knows best. I've messed my life up so many times trying to do things my way. Try to do things my way. But it's not easy to yield. We want to yield. I think most of us in this room have made that decision. But sometimes we find ourselves wandering off the path. I think we need to come to God with a deep hunger in our hearts, with a dissatisfaction of where we are now, and a hunger to know Him more, to be like Him, to follow Him. This may take quite a radical shift in our understanding. Faith is trust. That we would trust God completely. And that is hard. It's not easy. Simply means this hard, unyielding self. This stiff-necked, proud person must bend the knee. That the eye must become a see. That's what Roy Hessian states it in his book, The Calvary Road, that the proud, stiff-necked self must bend itself down on its knees in front of the cross. Self which justifies, wants its own way, stands up for its rights, and seeks its own glory. At last, it needs to bow its head, to bow its knee to God's will, admit its wrongs, gives up its own way to Jesus, surrender its rights, and discards its own glory. This is done so that the Lord Jesus might have all completely. Because all the glory and honor and praise belongs to Him. Not us. Not us. To Him. In other words, it's dying to self, dying to our selfish attitudes. Dying to self is never portrayed in Scripture as something optional. It's not an option, folks. It's a commandment. It's an imperative. We can either do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. The Lord will lead us and guide us We can yield and bend the knee, or we can spit, shout, complain. See, the Lord is patient. The Lord isn't in a rush. We're in a rush. God has got plenty of time. And He'll wait until you're ready, until I'm ready. We take up our cross. What does this mean? Well, I'd like to begin in saying what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're forced to carry some burden in this life. Oh, pious way, oh, it's my burden. No. It's not a strained relationship. It's not a thankless job. It's not an illness that we have to bear with self-pity and pride and say, oh, this is my cross which I must have to carry. No. I do not think that this is what it means. To take up your cross and follow me means being willing to die in order that Jesus will live in us and through us. That He would have His way. This is called dying to self, and it is absolute surrender to God. Absolute surrender. This means to be identified with Him. And that may mean sharing in His suffering and becoming like Him, the Apostle Paul said. Perhaps we tread down paths and we think, oh my God, Lord, deliver me. And it's God who's led us down them paths. It was God who led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Sometimes we're praying against God's will. Get me out of this situation. And it's the Lord that put us in that situation. Quite a journey for Jesus when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where His disciples fell asleep. They were too tired and weary to pray with Him. He was alone. He was broken. The Son of Man on His knees before God, sweating drops of blood. And He said, If possible, take this cup from me. In anguish of soul and burdened, face down on the floor. But it's not my will, but thine. Not my will be done, but your will be done. If we think it's not going to be easy, we must, because everything in the flesh will resist against it. And if we give it an inch, it'll take a mile. But we've got to consider it dead on a daily basis. We put it to death. Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. God knows what is best for our lives. Will we take up our cross? Will we take up our cross? How do we get to that place where we can say to God, not my will, but thy will be done? We follow Him. Cannot crucify ourselves. It's God's work. But we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Problem with the living sacrifice, it jumps off the altar because it doesn't want to die. Lord, have mercy. on us all. Truth and grace. Through the narrow gate. The gate is narrow. You've got to bend to get through it. And the road, it's less traveled. There's not as many people on it. It's lonely. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be called names. Persecuted even. But Jesus has gone before you. The road less traveled. Remember the disciples when Jesus was arrested. They ran away. They didn't want to go to the cross. And that's what we do, folks. That's what I do. We run away. Peter followed at a distance. And later, God restored them. Well, everyone but Judas. And they all chose that road. And they all walked upon it. There was a time they ran away from it. But they did return. Where are we? In our walk. Are we on the road less traveled? Or are we running away, going the opposite direction? Will we follow? Will we follow him? What are the obstacles to dying to self? Well, I'm sure there's many. I'm sure that there is many. But I'm going to speak about two very briefly. And the first one is pride. Something we all struggle with. It's been the downfall of angels. The downfall in the garden that we would become like God and know good from evil. And if we take everything else away, whose kingdom are we building? Whose kingdom are we co-laboring with? He brings his pressure to bear. His conviction via the Holy Spirit. And we have to make a choice. If we will open our hearts to his conviction, and if we're sensitive to his Spirit, God will show us the hard, proud expressions of self that cause him so much pain. A willingness for his light and life. The choice means we have to bow. That we yield. Will we bow? Will we yield? Yield ourselves to him and say, yes, Lord. Or we can justify our behavior. Oh, I've done it many times. Even righteously, we can justify it. Guilty. And we can stiffen our necks and refuse to repent. To be stiff-necked. And choosing not to repent is pride. And it's deceptive. It even deceives our own heart. This is why we need godly brothers and sisters in our lives. In Proverbs it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Do you know somebody that loves you that much, that is willing to tell you a hard word? Because it's easy to turn the other way. Fellowship. We're a body of believers. Blessing comes in unity, in accord. Family. It says if you confess your sins to each other and not just to Him. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. But He said if you confess your sins to each other, He will heal you. We need healing. All them sins just repeat themselves. Is there a pattern where you need healing? Are you struggling in a certain area of temptation? Brothers, don't worry. The Bible says your whole brothers throughout the earth are going through the same temptations. Is the enemy isolating you? True, we need to have a trustworthy friend to confess our heart to. But if you haven't got one, I've got three, and I need them all. I would really encourage you to find a friend like that, that won't condemn you, that will pray for you, that will love you, and stand in the gap for you. A friend that you could ring if you're facing temptation. Our idols. The things that we desire. Or the things that we worship other than God. What are they? Well, the days have gone when it's some statue that we worship. But even though that is done in this day and age. Possibly one of mine is these things. I collect vintage watches. I have a blog on the internet. I'm in a watch club. My grandfather was a watchmaker. I never knew him. I inherited his watch when my father died. And it was a bond. It's a healthy hobby. But I've got to keep it in check. And you know when you cross over. You know, God makes it known. Little things. It might not be a big thing. The big things are obvious. Fame, fortune, success, power, youth. Do we ever live in a world chasing youth? Plastic surgery, Botox, all these products to look younger. It's vanity. Recreation, being popular, food, money, comfort. An idol could be something that started out honorable. It could be a selfish ambition to have a church, to plant a church, to lead a church, never to split a church. Plant a church comes from multiplication. Now, put my teeth back in. Not from division.